ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
This is a prayer or a song called Sri Nam Mahatmya, the glories of the holy name. This is the last in the series of songs which constitute the Sharanagati of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Now, in these songs, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has described the process of surrendering to Krishna. And he finishes his songs with two prayers describing the glories of and the effects of chanting the holy names of Krishna. The previous prayer, he's saying, Kabe habe bolo shede namar, amar aparadh guchi, shuddhaname ruchi, kipa bale habe hridaye shancha. He's saying that when will my offenses be cleared away so that I can chant the holy name purely? And in this prayer, he's describing the effects of chanting the holy name in purity. We should always remember there is a great difference between our chanting and the chanting of completely pure devotees. It may sound as if it's the same pronunciation, the same aksharas, the same consonants and syllables, but a pure devotee's chanting means he directly experiences Krishna. This is being described in this song. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Krishna naam dhare koto bal. He says, how powerful is the holy name of Krishna? This whole song is an explanation of this one line. How powerful is the holy name of Krishna? Now, the different effects of chanting the holy name are described by Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshashtaka. How chanting the holy names destroys all the dirty things in the heart and brings us to the stage of pure love of Krishna. So how powerful is the name of Krishna? That simply by chanting, all the dirty things in the heart are destroyed, which otherwise cannot be destroyed after millions of lifetimes practicing karma, jnana or yoga. That is described by Lord Brahma in his Brahma Samhita. Kantastu koti shatavatsara sampragamyo vayoratapi manaso muni pungavanam sopyasti yatravatasinya vinchintitatvi govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. He says that the yogis who are very expert in drilling the respiration, means they're doing these kind of exercises, breathing, by their attempts at purification, they cannot approach even the tip of the toe of the lotus feet of Govinda. Now, the jnanis and the yogis, they follow many rules and regulations to live their life very purely. And they're very concerned with how they will keep pure by taking bath regularly, chanting different mantras for purification. And the yogis, they accept many difficult austerities, which we can't even imagine following. But the most difficult thing of all for them is something which is very easy for a devotee. There are many difficult things which devotees can't do. They have no interest in doing. Even if they tried, they couldn't do it. It's just like the yogis in the hot season. Now you're thinking it's hot, but Sudarshan, who was just in India in the hot season, can tell you it's not very hot. This kind of weather is nice, cool weather, Indian standards. Seriously. But the yogis, on a very hot day, when it's more than 45, they'll put fire all around them and sit in the middle and meditate. Would anyone like to do that? Or in the winter, when it's very cold in the Himalayas, they'll sit in the river and meditate. Now, apart from the fact that we don't want to do this, because what's the point anyway? But we couldn't do it either. If we put an advertisement, please come to Hare Krishna Festival, we will put you in the middle of four fires, standing on your head, and we'll give you nice prasadam, one grain of rice every 3 days. Then they might call us a very dangerous cult. But actually, it wouldn't be very dangerous because nobody would join. Just whoever mentioned such a thing he could do his meditation in the psychiatric hospital. So the yogis can do some things which the devotees can't do. But there's one thing that the yogis find very, very difficult, which for the devotees is very easy. That is to give up their false ego and surrender to Krishna. Because the yogis, by doing their austerities, they're thinking, oh, I'm so wonderful, I'm so great, I'm so powerful. But for all their fixed determination in austerities, they cannot give up their attachment to their bodily and mental identity. So therefore, how powerful is the name of Krishna? That simply by chanting with sincerity, all these bad things are cleaned from the heart. Sometimes people are surprised. Only by chanting? Yes, only by chanting. But chanting means what attitude we are chanting with also. In this song, Bhaktivinoda Thakur will describe offenseless chanting. Now, if we examine the 10 offenses against the holy name, they're all to do with our attitude in devotional service. They're attitudes which are, the offenses are attitudes which are maintained in the heart, maybe at the time of chanting or not even at the time of chanting. To blaspheme devotees, to think that the name of Krishna is a material sound, like the name of demigods or like some karmakanda performance, is all to do with the attitude of the devotee. But when one chants Hare Krishna seriously and sincerely, then the effect becomes quickly manifested. Krishna consciousness is extremely simple. Prabhupada said that Krishna consciousness is so simple you might miss it. So easy you might miss it. Because our mentality is so complex, we're looking for something very complex and difficult. But the real thing is just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. But we can't be happy as long as we're trying to, in all kinds of different ways, interact with this material world for sense gratification. Krishna consciousness is so simple, even a child can do it. But a child may do it, but a big professor, he may not be able to do it. Because the basic principle of devotional life is simplicity. Simplicity doesn't mean being a fool. Simplicity means simply to accept that, yes, Krishna, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I'm your servant, now let me serve you. So we may say, yes, it's all very well to say that, but I have this big weight on my head called my material attachments. What about me? Me means my body and my mind. But simple-hearted devotee knows that despite all my attachments, if I simply go on serving Krishna, then surely he will help me. And the whole process of Krishna consciousness is to help us advance along the path. The association of devotees is to help us make advancement. Sometimes the association of devotees, we think, well, it may not be so helpful for different reasons. Sometimes devotees, they're also, some of the devotees may be somewhat neophyte in their attitudes. Sometimes it's very difficult to live in the ashram. Just like we were saying, this room is big enough for 20 people, a small area. So sometimes it's very difficult, because we're very tired and we want to take rest, and someone comes in 11 o'clock at night saying, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And then someone else sets their alarm clock for 2 o'clock in the morning, doesn't get up, and wakes you up. Every morning. And when you ask him why, he says, no, tomorrow I'll get up, sure. So there are certain things like this. You want to go for Mangalati, but someone's stolen your underwear. So you're spending half an hour looking for them. I mean, these are the kind of things that do happen. I mean, I don't know if they happen here, but I wouldn't be surprised because they happen everywhere else. So what should we do? Maybe I should practice Krishna consciousness in my own way. But the only problem is that our own way tends to be not very Krishna conscious at all. I mean, even if the devotees are a little difficult to get on with, at least in their association, we'll rise early, be engaged in devotional service. That's why association of devotees, it's like chutney. It's so hot, burns your mouth, but very, very sweet. So you can't give it up. So this point, associating with devotees, then associating with devotees means we make friendship with devotees. And one thing we'll find is that devotees actually, even though we may think, well, this guy, I don't know, he's not much of a devotee, we may think. But we'll often be surprised how deeply committed people are to Krishna consciousness. We may not see it. Sometimes if we speak with them and then their realizations come out, or some difficult situation, we see how they go on serving Krishna with full dedication. Or even just the fact that they're going on day after day after day, chanting Hare Krishna, serving Krishna. Devahuti, she says, and this is recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the topmost scripture, that those who are engaged in devotional service, they're glorious. Aho bata shvapacha togriyan yajjivagri vartate namatubhyam. She says that anyone who goes on with this chanting of Hare Krishna, they are the greatest people. It doesn't matter if they're born in a family of dog eaters, or they're born in Serbia, or anything. This is considered low birth. We are all from the background of lechers, chandalas, yavanas, antyajas, all the nice words, they all apply to us. But she says that it doesn't matter. Even they may be from a very sinful background, if they're chanting Hare Krishna, they're glorious. So this appreciation of devotees, how even they may be having difficulty, neophyte, mind problem, but anyone who's dedicated himself to Krishna is glorious. So this thing, chanting Hare Krishna and associating with devotees, this Jagadananda Pandit, a great devotee of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, Shadu Shange Nyama Kirtan Eimatro Chai Shangshar Jinite Ar Kame Bastu Nai. He says that chanting Hare Krishna in the association of devotees, I don't want anything else, because to cross over material life, there is no other method. So in this song, Bhaktiram Thakur is describing the power of the holy name, chanted purely. He says, Bishoy Bhashananale, Marachita Shadajale. Rabbi Tapta Marubhumi Sham. He says that the blazing fire of material life is burning in my heart, just like the sun is blazing down on the desert. So Karna Randra Patadiya Ridhi Majhe Praveshya Varishoi Shuddha Anupam Shuddha Anupam. He says that the holy name, it makes a path through the whole of my ear and enters into my heart and showers unparalleled nectar. So this is the power of the holy name. If we let the holy name enter into our ear and into our heart, this is what will happen. Usually when we chant, we don't let the name enter into our ear. We're simply chanting, but the real process is to hear and let the name enter into our heart. That requires to concentrate on chanting. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing what is chanting in the pure state. He has described how the holy name extinguishes the fire of material life and overwhelms us with nectar. So this is an advanced stage of chanting Hare Krishna for which we are aspiring to. But we've all experienced that, at least to some extent. None of us would be here today chanting Hare Krishna if we had not experienced the nectar of chanting. Everyone has experienced at some point, to some extent, how ecstatic is chanting Hare Krishna. Isn't it true? Everyone has experienced. Sometimes in kirtan or japa, just everything opens up and ecstasy overflows. So that ecstasy, that is the nectar for which we are always anxious. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is teaching us, what is the completely purified stage of chanting. That we have to go on striving. He's not talking about the mechanical, machine-like kind of chanting, but he's talking about his chanting, how he is chanting. Hriday hoite bale, jivar agrate chale, shabda rupe nache anukhan. He says that this chanting of Hare Krishna, it comes from the heart. It's not simply an interaction of the tongue and the lips, but real chanting comes from the heart. That Prabhupada explained that chanting should be just like the genuine cry of the child for the mother. So that chanting, that comes from the heart and it proceeds towards the tip of the tongue. Then in the form of sound, it dances on the tongue incessantly. The Prabhupada described that chanting Hare Krishna means Krishna is dancing on your tongue. Now if one is actually chanting in purity, certain effects will follow, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes. These symptoms are not to be imitated, but they are to be aspired for. Kante ma bhangesha anga khape thar thar ste hoite na pare charan. He says that my voice falters and my body trembles violently and I cannot keep my legs still. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also described when he was criticized by the Mayavadi sannyasis. Why are you dancing? Sannyasis are not supposed to dance. The Mayavadi sannyasis criticized him that sannyasis are supposed to be very grave people, not dancing. Dancing is for very low class people. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I'm sorry, but I can't help dancing. I can't control myself. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, speaking to the Mayavadi sannyasis, that you are telling me that I should study Vedanta and not dance. But my spiritual master told me that I was a fool and I'm not fit to study Vedanta. And that better you chant Hare Krishna, my spiritual master told me. Because that chanting is the essence of the Vedanta Sutra. And when I chant, I automatically dance. I can't stop myself. So sorry. So let me see. One who is actually advanced, he likes to dance. Dancing means dancing for the pleasure of Krishna. Chake dhara, dehe gharma, pulakito shabha charma, vivarana hoilo kaleba. He says that the tears come from the eyes in a stream. Perspiration comes from the body. Hairs of the body stand on end. And the whole body becomes pale and colorless. Murchito hoila man phalaya agaman bhave sarva deha jor jor. He says that the mind becomes like fainted. And it seems that total devastation is coming. This is called ashta shaktik vikar. This is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. The symptoms of extremely exalted devotees. These are often described in Chaitanya Charitamrita and other Gaudiya Vaishnava literatures. Especially since the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and we also saw that in Srila Prabhupada, advanced devotees have been very, very careful not to show these symptoms very freely. Because there is a great tendency for cheating people to imitate such symptoms and gain respect for others as advanced devotees. Mm. Then another symptom, bhave sarva deha jor jor. And that by all these emotions, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, my whole body feels as if it's broken, shattered. Kale eto upadrob chite borshe shudhadrob more dare prema shagore. He says that all these symptoms are like an ecstatic disturbance. But it's not really a disturbance, it's like a shower of nectar within the heart. Yeah, it's very poetic language. It's very poetic language. It may not seem to be, it may seem to be a little bit unusual, but it's a very poetic description of spiritual reality. And more dare prema shagore. He says that this shower of nectar drowns me in the ocean of love of God. Kichuna bhujite dilo. More to batul koilo. More chitta bitta shabahore. He says that the holy name has not given me the power to understand all these things. Has made me into a madman and has taken away my mind and my money also. Krishna consciousness may make you like a madman. Actually, the first days of our movement, as you know, mostly there were hippies who were joining. And what I saw in Budapest, I think still, is mostly hippies joining. At least we were in the hippie music festival, and they seem to be the people who are most interested in Krishna consciousness. So at least in those days when Prabhupada was first preaching in the West, this idea of becoming a madman in love of God seemed very attractive to the hippies. But there's a very nice description in the Nectar of Devotion, how Uddhav, he is the greatest devotee of Lord Krishna in Dwaraka. So during the rainy season in India, there are very big black clouds. So Uddhav, he was going on the hill outside Dwaraka and talking to the clouds and praising them for being the same color as Krishna. So Prabhupada writes there that it was Uddhava's great good fortune that at that time in Dwaraka he became known as a madman. So better to become a madman for Krishna. As Prabhupada analyzed, everyone in this material world is crazy. Everyone is crazy because they think they're going to be happy by sense gratification. But no one's even the slightest bit happy. They don't even know what happiness means. What they take as happiness is simply frustration. In this summer season, there's a great illusion of happiness. Because it seems very nice to go in the nice sunshine and get a nice suntan or sunburn and jump in the river or the sea and have pastimes with members of the opposite sex. So it's a great illusion of happiness. But the devotees can see that actually the people, they're not happy at all. Devotees can see these people are just insane because they're spoiling their life. And the non-devotees, they think the devotees are insane because they're spoiling their life. Especially they can't understand why should young people join this movement? That when they're young, they can enjoy their senses. Why should they waste their youth with all these horrible austerities? It's like Satsarupa Maharaj was describing that in the early days of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, he used to take the Harinam party on Boston Common every day. Common, it means like the park. And every day, one man would call out to them, "You'll regret it when you're 40. Because he had the idea that after some time, the devotees will think, "Oh, I should have got a job and I wasted my time and I don't have any degree. Oh, how I wasted my youth chanting Hare Krishna." Of course, Satsarupa Maharaj is now well past 50. And he hasn't regretted it. And quite likely the old man who was chastising him, he's regretting that he didn't chant Hare Krishna because now he's living in the house of Mr. Yamaraj. But maybe he got saved also from worse things because at least he heard the party every day. Maybe he's, who knows what good fortune he may have got. There are many stories like this of people who used to blaspheme our devotees and for so many years, just seeing our devotees, after some time their hearts changed. There are many, many such stories, which I won't tell now due to lack of time. If there's time at the end, you can ask me. Just showing how powerful is this holy name of Krishna. So, Bhutino Thakur goes on. Loino ashru ja, eno vevaha ta, borinite na pari eshoka. He says, that holy name which I have taken shelter of, I cannot describe all its effects. How the, not exactly effect, bevaha means dealings, how the holy name deals with me. Because when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we should always remember that Krishna, this name Krishna, is Krishna. On the material platform, it's very difficult to understand how the name can be the person. But at least if we theoretically accept that, then gradually by chanting with faith, we come to understand that when we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna is personally present. Krishna is always personally present, but he reveals himself to the devotee who chants his name with faith and love. Krishna naam ichhamoy, jahe jahe shuki hoy, Shemar Shuke Shambha. He says that the name of Krishna is independent. He works according to his own desires. What he wants to do, he does. So whatever makes Krishna happy, that is my happiness, says Bhaktivinoda. Preme Kalika Naam. Kalika means the bud, the flower bud, before it opens up. So the chanting of the holy name of Krishna, that is described as the bud of love of God. So in the beginning stage, our chanting, that is like that the love is there, but it has yet to be fully manifest. Adbhuta Rasha Dham. The name of Krishna is the abode of all kinds of wonderful experiences in love of God that we cannot imagine now. But of course, even in the beginning stage of Krishna consciousness, it's so nice that it's better than anything the whole material world has to offer. Prabhupada sometimes used to challenge, people would come and say, oh, you're mistreating these young people, why are you teaching them this chanting Hare Krishna? Prabhupada would say, no, they're very happy here. Prabhupada said, you offer them $1,000,000 to give up chanting Hare Krishna, they won't do it. And there were instances also, just like Giriraj Maharaj, his father, multi-millionaire. So he offered, please come home, I'll give you everything. He offered Prabhupada, I'll give you $1,000,000, let my boy come. Prabhupada said, he's free to go, if he wants he can go, you ask him. I'm not stopping him. He says, I don't want your $1,000,000. If you can convince him, he can go. I have no objection. So Giriraj Maharaj's father kept his $1,000,000 and Prabhupada kept Giriraj Maharaj. So even in the beginning, there is taste in Krishna consciousness, no doubt. And if we simply stick to the process, that will increase more and more and more and more. One time one devotee said to Prabhupada, oh, this Krishna consciousness is such ecstasy. Prabhupada said, you don't know what ecstasy is. But even that little taste he was getting, that was, he was feeling millions of times better than anything in this material world. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Hino Bal Kariye Prakash, that the holy name is so powerful to manifest all these things. And is it not a wonderful thing? We can see in our own lives, we like to read the stories of different great Vaishnavas. But even in our own lives, we have evidence how much we have changed, how much our life has changed by chanting Hare Krishna, how much we've been able to come forward, give up all the bad habits because of the power of the name of Krishna. So, Ishat Bikashi Puna, Dekai Nija Rupa Guna, Chitta Hari. Meaning of chanting Hare Krishna, we begin to experience such nice experiences in Krishna. Then again, with a even more advancement, then gradually we come to, by chanting the holy name, Krishna's form, his qualities become revealed to us. Then, Chitta Hari Loi Krishna Pash. Then our mind is stolen and we are taken to Krishna's association. This is one of the names of Krishna. Chitta Hari means he steals away the mind. Krishna is famous as a thief, Makancho. He steals butter. He's famous, he is stealing the cloth of the gopis. And he's stealing the minds of the devotees. That's why sometimes the parents of the devotees, they become very upset because their mind is no longer at home. Their mind is stolen by Krishna. Purna bikashito haya raje more loya raje more jaya loya dekai more sharup bilash. So this is describing the development of how the bud is opening up, the bud of love of God is opening up when it's fully blossomed, when the full love of God is there by chanting Hare Krishna, then the holy name takes us to Vrindavan Dham. And then by the power of chanting, we see Krishna directly, engaged in his pastimes. More Shiddha Deya Diya Krishna Pashe Rakhi Giya E Dehe Kare Sarvanash. Says that then we are given an eternal spiritual body with which we are to live with Krishna. And this material body, which is based on lust and envy and greed and personal selfish desire, is finished forever. And it is full of the pure relationships of love of God. This we are looking for, the relationship of love of God. Everyone wants and needs friends. Therefore, we want to make relationships. We want to share love with others. But that love in the material world is always frustrating. But love of Krishna is that love which will never be frustrated. It will increase in intensity and sweetness forever. He says that the holy name, whatever obstacles may be in chanting, and eventually as we go on chanting Hare Krishna and serving Krishna, we will become qualified to enter into the spiritual world. Just like you are dancing here before Gornitai. So that is training. That whatever we do in this life, that carries on to the next life. Just like the atheist or the demon, he is acting in a horrible way. So he will enter, he will continue with his horrible activities in a horrible body. His consciousness will carry him to a situation suitable for being nasty and envious. And devotees are chanting Hare Krishna, dancing before Gaur Nithai for their pleasure. And in the next life, they will simply continue doing that. In the spiritual world, they will dance with Gaur Nithai. So, whatever may happen, let us go on with this chanting. This chanting of Hare Krishna is the be-all and end-all of the life of the devotees. Chanting Hare Krishna, and engaging in preaching activities to bring others to the chanting of Hare Krishna. Yeah. This is the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is all auspicious. Anyone who can engage in this Sankirtan movement is the most fortunate person. Maybe educated, uneducated, whatever, doesn't matter. Maybe struggling with the mind. Everyone is struggling with the mind. But anyway, if we just go on with this decision, let me go on with this chanting and sankirtan. Whatever happens, let my life be fixed on this process of Krishna consciousness. And certainly we'll become purified. And Krishna is very kind. He wants us to come back to Him, back to home, back to Godhead. So certainly if we go on with this sankirtan process, Krishna will be kind to us and bring us back to Him. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Is there any question?
Yeah, you mentioned these lilas, if you want to give.
There are so many stories of many, many stories. I think you probably all know that you all have so many stories of people who are against Krishna consciousness, who they turn around and they become devoted. Anyone who's been preaching for some time, they must have seen so many people like this. Is it? Maybe you can tell me some stories. Anyone can tell? I can tell some stories. I'll just tell one. Just in London, in our old Berry Place temple in central London. Berry Place is a very famous temple. And the Prabhupada first established big-sized Radha Krishna deities in the Western world. Prabhupada was very, very fond of the deities there, Radha Lalanishma. He said that these deities are directly Radha and Krishna themselves. He said, actually, they're not really deities, it's just Krishna pretending to be a deity. The Prabhupada had many different leaders with Radha Lalanishma. Sometimes he used to steal their sweets. Anyway, there are so many things. Anyway, the devotees, they used to go out on Harinam Sankirtan every day. That was, in the beginning days, that was their only program. There was no book distribution, there were no books to practice. You can't imagine, I mean, those days, there was only Bhakti Godhead magazine. So devotees, their program was, get up in the morning program, take prasad, go on Harinam, up Oxford Street, come back, take prasad, go out again, come back, have evening program, and take rest. That was the program. So just as they came out of the temple, there was a man standing on the corner, an old man, who used to sell newspapers. And he used to love it when the devotees came. Every day when the devotees came, he gave him a chance to practice all the worst swear words that he knew. His greatest pleasure in life was blaspheming the devotees very loudly. So the devotees didn't want it. He used to walk past and they'd be chanting Hare Krishna and he'd be chanting something else. Anyway, after some time, book distribution was started. And the Matajis used to go out, dressed in kami clothes, and giving flowers and asking for donations and then giving people books. That's a secret weapon for book distribution. Send out the messages because no one can say no. So our old friend, he also couldn't say no. So one day they're going out on Harinam and they're coming and the old man shouting and they're like, oh, he's shouting all his nonsense again. But this time he was shouting something different. He was holding Bhagavad Gita as it is by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya Avaskar. He had been gotten by the secret soldiers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was shouting, I've got one of your books, I've got one of your books, I've got one of your books. So after years and years, he changed. After having so much attachment to the Sankirtan party, Krishna gave him some mercy. There are many such stories. Anyway, the moral of this story is, it's a good idea to send the Matajis on book distribution. Secret weapon. No one can resist the smiles of a woman. So use that for selling books. Very good. Then there are many such stories. I'll just tell one more. You know, in London, they have this underground railway system. Very expert arrangement so that people can travel very quickly all over the city for different varieties of sense gratification. So one of our devotees was distributing books outside one of the stations. So one man came and harassed him. It's not unusual. It happens everywhere when you sell books. Someone sometime will come and harass you. So he was shouting, oh, Christian, don't buy these books. So this way, our devotee, he couldn't sell any books. So he walked a little bit up the road and thought, I'll try here. But again, our Christian friend followed him. So he thought, well, I'm just next to the train station. I'll go back on the underground to the temple. It's about prasadam time. I'll take prasad and then I'll go out again. And this way I'll get rid of this guy. So he went in the tube station, but all the way down the escalator into the train, the guy was following him and shouting, whoa, whoa, this is wrong, whoa, whoa, I'm a Christian, and all this thing. And then all the way up the stairs and all the way back to the temple, and even came right inside the temple shouting, all nonsense. So then the temple president just happened to be standing just inside the door. That was Prabhu Vishnu Das Brahmachari, who is now Prabhu Vishnu Swami. So this guy comes in the door, whoa, 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 is this? Prabhu Vishnu Maharaj said, stop! He was shocked. He said, what's your problem? He said, well, I'm a Christian and this and that. So he said, come inside, sit down, take your lunch. It's time for lunch. Take your lunch. Tell me I'm the temple president. Don't harass these poor men. So he sat him down and gave him prasadam, and he had so many objections. But after 2 hours of speaking, he said, well, actually, I think what you say is right. And then Prabhupada said, then you should join us. He said, well, I'm 40 years old. I have 2 children. I smoke 40 cigarettes a day, and I'm a butcher. And I'm a Christian. So he said, never mind, chant Hare Krishna. He said, well, if I chant Hare Krishna, will I be able to stop my smoking? Yes, da. So he did. Took him a little time. In the beginning, once or twice a day, he would vanish from the temple and come back with a little smell on his breath. But he was very sincerely trying, and he made it as a devotee. Got initiated, giving over Dhan Das, and all glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to the holy name of Krishna. And many such stories. You must be having so many stories here also. Why don't you tell me some of your stories? Sankirtan stories. Actually, every story of how a devotee became a devotee, it's all wonderful, isn't it? If you need proof that Krishna consciousness works, here we have so much evidence. Everyone who becomes a devotee, it's not just some kind of social fashion or something like that. But everyone, it means they go through so many changes and Krishna reveals themselves to them and all the things they're materially attached to, they see the uselessness of it. It's a tremendous transformation how Krishna actually enters into our lives. But the power of Maya is such that after having come from Maya to Krishna and such a wonderful change, the power of Maya is such that after some time you think, well, maybe I should just go back to mine. Therefore, we should go on getting that taste of Krishna consciousness, in comparison which everything in this material world is, we can see it's just completely useless. So how can we go on getting that taste more and more? By consciously surrendering more and more to Krishna, always endeavoring to become more and more advanced. Sometimes we should discuss with devotees how we came to Krishna consciousness, what experiences we're having. And even if we're having any difficulties, we should discuss that also. Not that we should look for difficulties, because actually there is no difficulty. There's no difficulty in Krishna consciousness. Everything's very simple and easy. But because we have so many complex things going in our mind, therefore we imagine some difficulty. But anyway, if there's any difficulty, we should discuss with devotees. And there's nothing which is so difficult that cannot be overcome by Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is the perfect process to overcome all problems. So let us dedicate our lives in this Sankirtan movement. That is the greatest benefit for ourselves and for others. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So we'll finish there. Hare Krishna. All glories to His divine grace.